Always the human tide flowed west. It had swept over the brim of the Alleghenies years ago, and now there were no more barriers. Mad Anthony Wayne had broken the power of the red men at Fallen Timbers, and that cruel menace was drifting away like the misty wood smoke that dissolved across the growing clearings. Young Oliver Hazard Perry had smashed Britain's freshwater fleet, and as the shot-weighted hammocks went dropping down the clear green depths of Lake Erie, British control of the interior went down with them. All of the Northwest was safe and open. Beyond, running past the sunset, the mysterious Louisiana country lay waiting, securely American, threaded by dim trails of wonder and peril. The people could go anywhere they chose, quite literally anywhere, all the way to the undiscovered mountains and the deserts, beyond these to the extreme limit of the imagination. Men could very likely do anything on earth they had the courage to dream of doing. There was then, in the early 19th century, a brief golden age, like nothing ever known before or since, the time of it measured in decades, its final effects beyond all measurement, putting a mark on a continent and on generations of people and on the abiding dreams a nation would live by. Freedom had become a commonplace of everyday life rather than a talked-about abstraction, and it was for everybody. Moreover, it carried its own compulsions. Men who could do everything they chose to do presently believed that they must do everything they could. The brightest chance men ever had must be exploited to the hilt. And the sum of innumerable individual freedoms strangely became an overpowering community of interest. This community of interest extended in many directions and included many things, but first of all it was a common insistence on uninterrupted growth and development. The log cabin beside which a sturdy family wrested from the stubborn earth everything that it ate, wore, or used was romantic only at a great distance. To the people who lived there, the life meant hard work and privation, endurable only if it speedily led to something better and easier. Freedom had to mean something more than just the freedom to create a series of isolated backwoods slums, and regional self-sufficiency was the last thing anyone wanted. The promise of the new land could be realized only through a society that turned potential wealth into cash in hand for everybody. The people of this brief golden age were gross materialists and lofty idealists at the same time. They never imagined that there might be a difference between economic freedom and political freedom. The two went together, opposite sides of one coin. Like liberty and union in the oration, they were one and inseparable. All that mattered was a fair chance to get them. Today was better than yesterday, and tomorrow would be better than today. All horizons were open to those who exploited every possibility to the utmost. At bottom, this came down to a matter of good markets and ready access to them. That meant thinking in terms of the whole country, for this great interior could not be walled in. If men were to live here, they must submit to its terms, and its destiny was continental. There must be a national road across the mountains, then canals to connect the lakes with the great rivers and the ocean, steamboats on those waters, railroads when railroad time came. These were not merely desirable. They were in the highest degree essential, for the values which the bright new land offered could be realized only if growth and development were continuous. So there was a strange transvaluation of values. Pursuing immediate self-interest, the settler developed a profound feeling of belonging to a limitless national community. He believed in progress because he saw progress all about him. Less grinding toil for this generation than for the last one, greater freedom of opportunity, a better place to live, finer things to do with one's leisure. The progress was both spiritual and material, and it took place simply because America was different. Because in America, men could do better by themselves than they had ever been able to do before.